I looked around this morning and with many fond memories, I see a few faces that still working, and my memories of a lot of them that has gone on to meet their reward. I miss them, but I don't miss them. I'm almost envious of them because of the great pleasure that they have of being with God. I remember many things that has taken place in the last several years. I remember one in particular, myself and Brother Gerald Caffey and Brother Gold, we owned their call to preach about the same time. And we all preached here one Sunday night. Of course, we didn't know nothing. And we could all talk 5 minutes and be done. And since then, Brother Gerald has been plagued with a lot of bad health. I don't know if he's preaching anymore or not. Brother Gold, I've totally lost contact with him. I don't know where he would be. But I remember how that God began to impress me. Shortly after that he called me to preach, he gave me a pastor's heart. And I don't say that in this respect that I'm lectionary, because I'm not. I'm 77 years old, or will be next month. But God has a person for you to fill this vacancy. But I was just thinking about these things this morning. I looked around and my old friend going on to meet his reward too. A lot of you don't know this. When I first got saved, I didn't know what a Jew was. I didn't know what a Gentile was. And Brother Bud lived down in the village where I did. And on a Saturday morning, I was reading my Bible, but I didn't know what I was reading. I just didn't understand. So I thought, I'll go down and see Bud. I went down and he was mowing his lawn. I walked over to him and he shut the mower off. I said, Bud, what's a Jew? What's a Gentile? He took me in the house. And we opened our Bibles. And many a night, many a evening, we sit and we studied. And he could break the Word of God down to where even a child could understand it. Dale even studied with us some. I think Danny did. And we had some wonderful times in the Lord. But these memories, I hang on to. They're special. When I began thinking about coming this way after Brother Jeff called me and asked me if I would fill the vacancy here for this morning, I agreed to do that. And I began praying for God to give me a thought. And last night in my bedchambers, God gave me one. And I need your prayers this morning that God would help me. I know that we're living in a hard time right now. And about all that you hear on TV or anywhere is about this coronavirus. And it is a bad thing. But I tell you, dying and going to hell is a worse thing. And I don't know all of you today. I look around and see some familiar faces and some I don't know. I'm glad you're here. I really am. And you would probably hear a whole lot better sermon if somebody else had preached it. But as the old cliche goes, I've got to stand this morning, and I want to try to follow the will of the Lord. I ask you to, if you want to follow after me, I want to begin reading in the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms. And I want to read about 8 verses, I think. So forgive my mistakes that I might make. Beginning at the first verse of chapter 40, the psalmist David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet on a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord. I can't see this morning. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy faults which are in usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare to speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sacrifice thou hast required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Now I'm going to stop my reading right there. And with the mistakes I might have made, I pray that God will add his blessings to this. My thought today is obedience. You know, we could have all the faith in the world, but if we're not obedient to what God asks us to do, our faith is in vain. So we need to understand how important it is to be obedient to God. You know, as I talked to God about this subject last night, I had other thoughts on my heart, but they never did feel right. And as God spoke to me, and using this just as an example, had I said, no, Lord, I want something else. I remember one time whenever I was a young preacher, and Brother Mike Froge went with me up to Salem Church when they was in the old building. And God gave me a thought, and when I got up there, I looked around over that crowd, and I thought to myself, they don't deserve what I have on my heart. I don't think I'm going to try to preach that. And I didn't. And I said a few words, and I was totally dumbfounded. It was as if my jaws was locked. And I looked at Brother Mike, and I said, Brother Mike, I'm going to turn it over to you. And I did. And he took the same scripture and preached and done a wonderful job with it. And I did him that way two or three times because I wasn't obedient. The people listening this morning, our churches needs pastors. Our churches needs leadership. Our churches needs men that can fill the vacancies between earth and heaven. This pulpit here don't need to be vacant. There's a man out there, and I think the reason that we're not finding that man, and we need one out of the church where I'm a member, we need a pastor, we need leadership, somebody to help us. But our obedience is not in what the Lord wants yet, it's in what we want. The man that we may be looking for might be handsome. He might have a great volume of words he can say. He may have an eloquent speech. He may be good to look at. He may be somebody that's a kindred of us, and we want him. It's not a matter of who we want. It's not about us. It's about God and being obedient to him. And until that happens, I want to give you some scriptures to prove that. Let's look at this man of faith called Abraham this morning. God told Abraham that he was going to give him a promised seed. And time went by, and Abraham confronted God. And I'm ad-libbing now a little bit. He said, you promised me a son. And Abraham was an old man. And his wife was beyond the age of conceiving and giving birth to a child. But God opened her womb. And he made them two to come together and gave them the promised son that he promised them. This son that Abraham gave him, Abraham said, he shall be the father of many nations. He shall be the father of many people. And Abraham was listening and obedient to God. Now this boy that God gave him, he loved him with all of his heart.
Now, I've got two of my daughters back here today. I've got some great-grandchildren, or grandchildren that's with me, and I'm glad to have them here. And I love them very much, but Abraham loved this child. And God spoke to him. He said, Abraham, he said, I want you to take your boy, your son, and I want you to take him over yonder to a certain mountain, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice unto me. Abraham never questioned God. He never went and talked to Sarah about it. He never questioned the Lord. He simply obeyed God. Now, I'm telling you, there's blessings abundantly whenever that we obey the Lord. God will always pay a whole lot more than we deserve. I don't preach very often anymore, and my throat gets a little dry. But Abraham listened to God, and Abraham went to two of his young men and told them, you know, to put certain things up on the donkey. And they begin a three-day journey. And they journeyed and they journeyed on. And I'm sure that in Abraham's mind, as he went along about this man, this young man that was his son, I believe he was really questioning. Now, I don't want to use that word. I believe he was just wondering about it. I believe he was trying to get it in his mind how he was going to do this. And after a three-day journey, I think it was, they looked and saw the mountain that they were supposed to go to. And Abraham looked at his young men and he said, now, you two men, did you wait here? And the lad and I will go yonder and we'll do sacrifice and we'll come back. And I can just about see this in my mind's eye as they stood here. And Abraham obeyed God to his fullest, not a question in the will of God. Abraham understood that God had promised that this son of his would be the father of nations. He believed that. Today, church, listen, you must believe and be obedient to the will of God. Here they stand at the base of this mountain. Here's Abraham's son. And a lot of people preach him to be a little boy. Abraham's son was probably somewhere between 17 and 19 years old. He wasn't a little child, but he looked at his father and he said, Dad, here's the wood. And he said, here's the fire and here's the knife. But he said, where's the sacrifice? He said, son, I want to get a little something else in this. He said, here's the wood. This wood was symbolic of the cross of Calvary. This wood represented more than something to burn the body of his son. It represented the cross of Calvary. The fire and the knife represented death. But he said, Father, he said, here's the wood, here's the fire. But he said, where is the sacrifice? Now I can just about see Jesus as Isaac was the type of the Lamb of God. And Abraham was the type of God. I can just about see them standing here with these two servant boys and these two donkeys. I can just about see this gathering just as if it was Jesus saying to God, Father, here is the wood, here is the knife, here's the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And God speaking to his son, as Abraham spoke to his son, and he said, son, he said, God himself will provide himself a sacrifice. He didn't say God will provide a sacrifice. He said God will provide himself a sacrifice. They made their journey up this mountain. And I can just about envision, as I laid in my bed last night, I can just about envision this old man taking the stones up on that mountain. Just making them as if they was a bed. And he piled the wood upon that. And he bound his son's hands and feet. And he laid him upon this offer that he had made. And I want you to see something else of this. Isaac didn't fight him. He didn't refuse him. And I tell you, whenever Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he never refused. As they stretched his hands out of and drove the nails to his hands and his feet. He never refused that. He never fought it. Neither did Isaac, being a type of the Lamb of God. He was obedient. You know, sometimes I think myself that I'm obedient to the Lord. And then when I begin to really reckon with myself and looking at me, I see how much of a failure that I am. So this morning as I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me also. Folks, I'm telling you, this country needs to turn back to God. This country needs to be obedient to the Lord. And I believe that God can stop this pandemic, this coronavirus. I believe he can stop it as quick as it started. But we got to be obedient to the Lord. You know, it got to the place where that the world was so disobedient to the Lord. They were so hung up on sports and they were so hung up on all this. And now God has shut the Colosseums down. The people are so hung up on going to these big concerts and God shut the Colosseum down. People wouldn't go to church. Now God has caused the doors to shut where people won't go to church. But I'm telling you, we have got to become obedient to God. My dad was a big man, and he would give us boys. I'm the seventh of 13 children, and we raised a lot of our food. And he would give us orders of the morning when we was out of school that he wanted this little bank up here cleared off. He wanted it fixed where he could make a garden there, so he'd have a place to feed us. And whenever that we'd get that done and Dad would come home, he'd brag on me. He'd say, "That's a good job, son." And I tell you, whenever we do something for God that he asks us to do, when we're obedient, he'll look at us and we'll know that he's saying, "That's a good job, my child." And I appreciate it. So Abraham and Isaac had gone to the top of this mountain. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We could lay our life down. We could kill ourselves, but that's sacrifice. But God wants us to be obedient to him. Abraham has laid his son upon this altar to take his life. Abraham still believes in the promise of God. Do you today? Do you still believe that God's capable of delivering us? I do. Do we still believe God's capable of bringing this old church to life again? I do. I remember back when I first got saved and joined this church, Brother Henry Froge was a song leader, and he'd sit right here in his seat, and I'd watch of a day whenever Brother Henry would get feeling the Spirit of God. He was obedient. Whenever he would sing them songs and he would sit down, I watched Janice, his daughter, a young girl, I watched her come and sit down right about here, and the most humble prayer that I ever heard fall from a young girl's lips as she sat there and touched her daddy and prayed. That was obedience. People, I'm telling you, when we obey God, God will reward us openly. He'll give us something that'll make us to grow in him. God's people needs to become mature. Abraham had his son laying upon this altar. And here stands Abraham at the tap of God. And he drew the knife back. And he was going to take his son's life. And I tell you, I believe that he just as well took his life. I believe he drew the knife back to take his life. And the angel of God spoke. And he said, Abraham, harm not the lad. And he looked around. And there was a ram caught in the thicket right behind him. The type moved from Isaac to the ram. And Abraham took the ram and he sacrificed it. I'm telling you, people, today, that we've got to be obedient to the Lord if we want to see the blessings of this life. Time is not over yet. God is not ready to come yet. If he was, he'd already been here. I really hope that God will give us more time. I guess since I've seen most of you last, I now have 10 great-granddaughters under 11 years old. One of them is lost, I know. She's been on the altar, and I think maybe another one could be. Lauren back here is carrying my first great-grandson. I'll be here in September. And Justin Devin and his wife are going to have a child. That'll make my 12th great-grandbaby. And I want them great-grandchildren to be saved. I want your great-grandchildren to be saved. I was noticing Treva introduced me to her, to the granddaughters. Them little children's going to need a sound Baptist church. We could leave them a great inheritance, but if they don't have a place to take them where they can hear the gospel, they've left them nothing. A good sound Baptist church is so important. You know, the little church I go to in Versailles, Kentucky, we run about 15 on Sunday morning. That's usually the normal crowd. But they're people that loves the Lord. We need a pastor real bad, just like you do. And God has got somebody prepared for it. I don't know who it is. I don't know who he's got prepared for us. But I've tried to weigh it out. Who will it be? What will it be like? How will he preach to us? What will he say? And I guess I need to leave all of that in the hands of the Lord and just trust him with it. But Abraham took that ram and he sacrificed it. And there was a picture of the Son of God dying for the sins of the world. Jesus never died in vain. He died to pay your sin debt and to pay my sin debt. Jesus died to make a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't ask you to sacrifice your children. He doesn't ask you to take your own life to please him. God wants us to serve him and be obedient. Obedience goes a long, long ways. And if we'll just do that, God will bless us beyond measure. So may God richly bless you today. I guess I've probably made a mess, but that's what God put on my heart, and I'm not going to try to go no further. I want a song. While we have a song, I'd like for us to stand and sing. There may be somebody here today that's lost and undone without God. I don't know. I can't see your hearts. I don't know. But this I do know, that if you don't know God, there's never a better time than today to make him your own. Amen. Now, you can't do it yourself. You can't get saved when you just want to. You can only get saved when God draws you to his side. If you feel like that you need a Savior, if you feel like that you're lost and undone, I saw something on Facebook the other day that just tore my heart out. This young woman had a sign, said, going to hell, and proud of it. I'm telling you, people, this world's in an awful shape. And somebody would make such a statement as that. And I'll tell you what, they'll be going to hell a whole lot sooner than they think. And this morning, if you're not saved by the grace of God, and the end of time comes, you'll go to the same hell that she was holding the sign up advertising. If you're here this morning and you're lost and undone without God, I'd like to invite you to come to this old altar place and pour your heart out to God. You know, back years ago, I had an appointment to preach here on a Sunday night, and there was a lot of young people here, like some of you today. And I asked them, I said, how many of you have been saved? And I think that just about everyone raised their hand up. Mary, you might remember that. And whenever I got through preaching, and I'm not saying I did anything, when I got through preaching, just about every one of them young people that held their hand and said they were saved, they gathered around on these benches here and they began praying and they got saved. I'm telling you, people, being saved is something that's a reality. It's something that you know. I tell you, September 17, 1969, back there just about where Marilyn's sitting up behind where she's sitting, that the Lord come to me and he saved my soul that night. And there was a burden rolled away. Something happened that had never happened before. And it was real, and it is still real today. Sometimes I can't hardly say my own name because our old memory gets bad. But I remember what Jesus did. I remember how I felt. And that just is real tonight. You know, I've been blessed once in a while to buy me a new car. And I love that smell. But just in a few days, that smell's gone. And it's an old car. But I tell you what Jesus did for me that night. It's just as fresh and it's just as sweet as it was when I first got it. I remember another thing, and I'll finish this, and I'll be done. Brother Mike took me down in Kentucky one day, and we went to, called him Uncle Tom Shirley. We went to his house, and he was laying on the bed, and his old head was just as white as cotton, and he had Alzheimer's so bad he didn't know what his name was. Brother Mike asked him, he said, "Uncle Tom, do you know who I am?" And he said, "No." And we sat there and talked a little bit, and he said, "Uncle Tom," he said, "tell me your experience of salvation." He said, "I was right out yonder in the backer patch." And he said, "I was a hoeing backer." And he said, "I got down on my knees in that backer patch." And he said, "I prayed until the burden rolled away." And he was gone again. Couldn't tell you nothing else. I'm telling you, people, that being born again is the best thing that you'll ever get. You may become wealthy. You may have lands and houses. You may have barns. You may have them all full. But if your soul is not full of salvation, hell will be your home. While we're standing, while we're singing, if there's one here this morning that don't know where you stand with God, will you come?